I'm so glad you're here tonight because I'm glad I'm here tonight because what God has for you is really exciting. The question is, how are you doing in your battle against methegama? If you're here and you say, what's methegama? It's because you weren't here the last 2 weeks, okay? Methegama is the dominant city that surrounded Jerusalem that David had to conquer in order to expand the borders of the nation of Israel. The spiritual methegama is the dominant sin in your life. Once David was able to conquer the dominant city, he could conquer the surrounding cities, but he had to conquer the biggest one first. We've used 2 Samuel chapter 8 as a springboard to help us understand how to win spiritual battles, because we all face issues that we have to overcome. And we are the overcomers, as the Bible has stated. I had a professor one time in college who used to always walk up to us and say, "How goes the battle, boy?" I said, "Good, sir." He says, "Are you winning?" I said, "I think so." He said, "Son, that's not good enough, because the Bible says you've already won." I'm like, "Okay." And then he would say, "Thou act like it." I thought, wow, better start acting like it then. Because the bottom line is that Christ is the victor. He's the ultimate overcomer. And those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they then become overcomers. But the question comes, why is it if I'm an overcomer, I feel like I'm underachieving and I'm not winning the battles against sin, against Satan, against myself, and all of society's pressures? Why is it I can't seem to get a handle on those things in my life, as Hebrews says, that besetting sin, or that sin that so easily besets us, the sin that takes us back, that keeps us from running the race, that keeps us from progressing spiritually? Why is it I can't seem to get a handle on that sin? Well, we're talking about some principles that help you understand that. Principle number one is that the victorious life is always reproduced by obedience. Can't expect to win if you're disobedient. We saw that last week in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, where David said to his son to show himself a man. And he will be successful if he follows the commandments and the statutes of the Lord God of Israel. We saw also that in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, Joshua was told the same thing. You want to be successful, Joshua. You want to be prosperous, Joshua. Then you meditate upon my word. You strive to do all that's written in my word, and I will make you successful, and I will make you prosperous. In fact, at the end of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 23, it's the Lord God who said this through the pen of Joshua to help the nation of Israel understand how they would win in the land of Canaan. Be very firm, Joshua 23, verse number 6, to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, in order that you may not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day, for the Lord has driven out great and strong nations from before you. And as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. One of you men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain strong among you, and intermarry with them, so that you may associate with them and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Joshua said, you cling to the Lord. You do what God says. And guess what? He's going to move out those enemies. For there's one man who goes to battle and 1,000 other men flee. That's what God does. But you intermarry with these nations and you go after their gods and you serve them and you intermingle with them. Then you know what? Disgrace and distress and defeat will be your future. He made it very clear. A victorious life is reproduced by obedience to the Lord God of Israel. Number two, we talked about this last week, that the victorious life is that which realizes the importance of spiritual discipline. It realizes the importance of spiritual discipline because you must ready yourself for the battle. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, train yourself unto godliness. The word train is from the word gymnazo, which where we get our English word gymnasium. So training is a smelly word. It's a sweaty word. It's a stinky word because it requires spiritual sweat. It requires you to be filled with spiritual energy because you must discipline yourself. And we said last week, it begins with the discipline of silence and the discipline of solitude. That when you're alone and quiet, you engage in the discipline of scripture and the discipline of supplication. That you might understand what God has for you. That you might beseech him and look to him. Christ would tell his disciples, pray lest you enter into temptation. So during those times of silence and solitude, scripture becomes the voice of God to your heart. And supplication is my crying out to God, beseeching him to give me the strength and the wisdom to do what he says. And then we looked at the fact that those spiritual disciplines encounter self-scrutiny and self-examination that lead me ultimately to serve my God. So if I'm going to be victorious, it's reproduced by obedience, and it realizes the importance of spiritual discipline. And then number three, if I'm going to be victorious, I must refuse to love myself. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 11. Those saints who overcame the Antichrist, or should I say who will overcome the Antichrist in the tribulation, do so by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, because they did not love their life even unto death. They were willing to give their lives away. Their lives weren't important to them. The Apostle Paul had that same mindset in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20. It says in verse number 21, Paul says, I went from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now behold, bound in spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. He says, I'm going to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen, except I know this one thing for sure. The Holy Spirit has testified that bonds and affliction await me, so I can be assured that I'll be in prison and that I will be beaten. I know that, Paul says. And then he says this, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he says, you know what? It's okay, because I don't think anything is great about my life. I don't consider it that great anyway. That's why he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If you don't have that perspective, guess what? You will go down to defeat. If you love your life, you're not going to overcome sin, because sin feeds your pride. Sin feeds your self-love. Sin feeds you personally. So if you love your life, you'll engage in sin. If you don't love your life at all, and you live a life of self-denial and surrender and submission, even unto death, you'll be victorious. And then number four, and this is the only one we're going to cover tonight, and we'll finish the rest of them next week. There's a method to my madness. I wouldn't call it madness necessarily, but there's a method to what I'm doing. And that is this. If you're going to be victorious, you must always remember the Lord. You must always remember the Lord. And this is so good. You're going to be so glad you came tonight. Because think about it. How many of you remember the Lord today? When you got up and you heard the results of the election, or before you went to bed last night and you got the results of the election, I'm not the kind of guy that watches TV, and I watch TV, but I just don't watch the polls. I watch football games. But I don't watch the polls and what's happening, so I'm going to the grocery store, and I'm going to my son's baseball practice, and I'm doing other things, and so my little phone gives me all the updates as to what's happening. So it tells me that President Obama was reelected. So that's how I found out. Okay. The question is, when you heard it, did you remember the Lord? When you went to bed, did you remember the Lord? When you woke up this morning and went through the day, did you remember the Lord? How often did you remember the Lord today? You see, I have the most incredible ministry in all the world because my ministry doesn't require me to be creative. Did you know that? My ministry in the church as a pastor does not require me to be creative because I'm not a very creative person anyway. My ministry requires me to be repetitive. Repetitive. That's it. I don't have to be creative. I got to be repetitive. Peter, he wasn't very creative, but he was extremely repetitive. Listen to what he says. This is so good. He says, therefore, I shall always be ready to remind you, he says, of these things. What things? Well, the things in verses 1 to 11. The riches we have in Christ, our redemption in Christ, the rewards we receive from Christ, our responsibility to Christ. I'm going to always remind you of these things, he says, even though you already know them. What a great job. I'm just going to remind you of things you already know. So when you come to church, I'm not here to be creative and to think of new ideas and newfangled ways to present the gospel. I'm going to say to you everything you already know. And you say, well, why do we come? That's why you come, because you forget. You forget. See, remember this, those of you who forget. Remember this. Your mind never forgets anything. Did you know that? Your mind never forgets anything. Once you learn something, it's stored right there. You might not recall it, but it's there. The brain is an incredible instrument created by God. And so what we need to do is be reminded. Peter knows that. I'm going to remind you. He says, the things you already know and have been established in the truth which is present with you. And consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. In other words, I'm going to remind you of what you already know. So much so, I'm going to continue to stir up your minds so you don't forget. What a great job. And then he says, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent. In other words, I'm going to die. I'm soon going to die. So if I'm going to die, what's the best thing I can do for you? Be repetitive. Help you remember. Remember what? All the redemption and all the riches and all the rewards and all of your responsibility and everything that's in Scripture, I'm going to help you remember it before I die. And then he says, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. In other words, Christ made it clear to me, I'm going to die. Remember back in John 21? He says, Peter, you're going to die. You're going to stretch forth your hands, and you're going to be crucified. You're going to die for me. So Peter says, the Lord's already told me I'm going to die. So before I die, I'm just going to keep telling you the same thing over and over and over again. And then he says this, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you may be able to call these things to mind. In other words, I'm going to remind you so much that when I'm dead and gone, you're going to be able to remember all the things I reminded you of. And then he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, this is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. And what's he say? You need to remember about the return of the Lord. So he tells them. Now get this. This is rich. So before Peter dies, his wife is crucified. And for 3 days, he is with his wife as she hangs on a cross, and he says the same phrase over and over and over again. And it is this: remember the Lord. remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. What a ministry. And the reason that ministry is so powerful is because we don't remember much about the Lord. We forget. That's why every week when you come, we repeat what we talked about last week. Because for the most part, we don't think about the things we learned last week. And because there are 6 days in between Sunday services or Wednesday services, we've got to be reminded of what we talked about last week. But Peter understood the importance of remembering. Well, here's the key to your victory. Remember the Lord. Remember what he said and remember what he did. This past Sunday, we took the Lord's table. The Lord says, this do in what?
Remembrance.
Remembrance of me. Don't forget me. Don't forget what I did. Don't forget why I did it. And don't forget who I did it for. But if we didn't have the communion table and celebrate it once a month, some churches do it every Sunday, we'd forget about that great monumental sacrifice on our behalf. We need to remember the Lord. Now, I'm going to spend some time here, 30 minutes to be exact, as to why this is so crucial. So if you got your Bible, turn back with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we'll understand this a little bit more. Because Israel's biggest problem was that they didn't remember. They kept forgetting what God said. They kept forgetting what God did. Why do you think God set up the Passover? Not just to foreshadow what was going to happen, but that Israel would remember the sacrifice of the Lamb and the redemption of the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. You can't forget what God did. Can't forget it. And so the Lord God set up all these ceremonies, set up the tabernacle to remember, that they would understand and not forget. That's why, as a parent, your ministry is not to be creative, it's to be repetitive. Because you keep telling your kids the same thing over and over and over again. And what do they say? Ah, I forgot. No, they didn't forget. There was something more important to them than your words. And that's exactly our problem with the Lord. There is something more important to us than the words of God. There's something more important to us than the work of God. There's something more important to us than the will of God or the way of God. Something takes priority over our lives. Oh, we don't forget. We just look at something else as more important than what God has already said. So we have to go back and be reminded once again. So in the book of Deuteronomy, 4th chapter, 4th verse, God says, but you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. See, I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it. So keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that his statutes and judgments are righteous as the whole law, which I am setting before you? Only give heed to yourselves and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest you depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, Assemble the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Teach your children. Remind your children. Help them to remember everything that we have done. Because if you forget, it will cost you dearly. And so again, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord God says, verse 10, that it should come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you shall eat and be satisfied. Then watch yourselves, lest you forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. In other words, prosperity has a built-in curse. There's nothing wrong with being prosperous, but if it causes you to forget all that God did when he redeemed you and brought you forth, it will cost you. Because you are to fear him only and worship him only and serve him only. So, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, all the commandments, verse 1, that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. There it is again. A victorious life is reproduced by obedience. And then he says, and you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Remember these last 40 years and what the Lord God did. Verse 11, beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today, lest when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He says, very simply, be diligent. Be careful. Remember, because what's going to happen is that now that you're on the threshold of obtaining the inheritance that I promised, I am going to go before you, and you're going to receive all these blessings. And the warning is, when you receive them, you'll forget about me. Now think about that in your own life. When you are poor and wondering where the next paycheck's going to come from, you are a lot more in tune with prayer and seeking God's will and dependent upon him. But when you're living on Easy Street and you've got all kinds of money coming in, you're not so often on your knees dependent upon the Lord. You've forgotten about the Lord because you've become self-sufficient. You'll be able to do things on your own. And God warns us, beware. If you don't remember, you'll forget. So you must remember my words. You must remember my work. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 77:11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Psalm 105, verse number 5, remember his marvelous works which he has done. Don't forget. So in Psalm 119, verse number 61, it says, Psalm 119, verse number 16, I'm sorry, says, I shall delight in thy statutes, I shall not forget thy word. In other words, the psalmist says, when I delight in what God says, I remember what God says. So I will delight in the statutes of God so I don't forget all that God has said. That's why in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, remember now your creator in the days of your youth. Remember him while you're young. Don't forget him while you're young. You must follow him and serve him. That's why over in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." In other words, remember what I said. Don't forget. Do whatever you got to do to remember. Tie them around your heart. Bind them in your heart. Keep them close to your heart. Why? Because if you forget, you're in trouble. If you remember, you're going to find good repute in the sight of God and man. Your life will be long and filled with quality if you remember the words that I've taught you. And then even in the New Testament. In fact, before I go there, Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6. God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. See, the problem is the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 2:32. "Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." I mean, think of a bride in the day she's married. Does she forget her ornaments? Does she forget a dress? Even she remembers what she wore and what she looked like. But my people, they have forgotten about me. Days without number. They've gone days, months, years, and not remembered me. They've forgotten. Then over at Jeremiah 13, it says this, verse 25. "This is your lot, the portion measured to you from me, declares the Lord. Because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood, so I myself have also stripped your skirts off over your face, that your shame may be seen. As for your adulteries and your lustful names, the lewdness of your prostitution, on the hills and the field I have seen your abominations. Woe to you, Jerusalem! How long will you remain unclean?" In other words, you have believed that which is not true. You have forgotten what I have said, and you have started to believe that which is untrue. And then it says over in chapter 18, book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse number 15. "For my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods, and they have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths, not on a highway, to make their land a desolation, and an object of perpetual hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and shake his head. Like an east wind, I will scatter them before the enemy. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their calamity." You forgot me. You don't remember. You forgot what I said. You forgot what I did. And therefore, you are not on a smooth highway, but you're off on the bypass, struggling because you did not remember. And then in Jeremiah 23, it says this, verse 25, "I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy falsely in my name, saying, 'I had a dream. I had a dream.' How long is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsehood? Even these prophets of the deception of their own heart, who intend to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which they relate to one another just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal." This is so important. Why? Because how many times do preachers say, "You know what, God spoke to me in a dream." Really? Oh, yeah. God spoke to me in a dream. And I want to tell you what he said to me. And everybody in the audience is on the edge of their chair saying, "Wow, God spoke to him in a dream." No, God says, that's just like worshiping Baal. That's idolatry. Why? Because what they're saying is that you forget me because you follow prophets who said, I had a dream. Really? What was your dream? Well, let me tell you what my dream was. This is what God said. Oh, wow. And all of a sudden, they don't forget. They forget what God really did say. And they remember only what the man's dream said. And the Lord God says that is like worshiping Baal. That's falsehood. That's out of the pit of hell. So those TV preachers who said, God spoke to me, I had a dream, turn them off. Don't watch them. Don't give them your money. Don't give them the time of day, because it's like worshiping Baal. It's idolatry. It's right from the pit of hell. And that's what causes us to forget what God said, because they turn us away from the truth of the word to believe their own words. And that's wrong. And that's why Jesus said, Gospel of John, remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Christ says, remember this. A slave is not greater than his master. Who's the slave? We are. Who's the master? Christ is. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. So if it came to the master, it goes to the slave as well. Therefore, if you remember that, when you stand strong for Christ and you're persecuted because you remembered the Lord, you'll be able to stand strong. Not cower into the fear of man or what others might say to you. Because you remember that you're a slave and Christ is the master. If they persecuted him, certainly they will persecute you. And because you remember the Lord, you stand strong. And then over in the book of Jude, verse 5, now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving the people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. Wow. And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. God says, remember what took place long ago. Don't forget. Don't forget about what took place in the nation of Israel when they didn't believe and they apostatized the faith. Don't forget about those angels who left their first abode, who were cast out of heaven because they wanted to rule in heaven. And don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah. Our country's forgot about Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't forget about Sodom and Gomorrah. Because they are facing eternal torment because of their lustful homosexual lifestyles. Don't forget. And then he says, verse 17, but you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there shall be mockers following after their own ungodly lust. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. But you got to remember what the apostle said. It's a constant reminder. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. If you want to live a victorious life, you must remember the Lord. And all that he said. This is crucial. Listen to these words in the book of Revelation. Familiar words to you. Revelation 2, verse number 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds, your toil and perseverance, that you cannot endure evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and not grown weary. But I have this against you. You have left your first love. You know, it's one thing for God to say he's for you, It's another thing for God to say he's against you. You don't want to get there. You don't got to say, you know what, I have this against you. You've been strong against false teachers. I admire you for that. That's a good thing. But I do have this one thing against you. You've left your first love. And then it's, what's the very next word? Remember from where you've fallen. See, the reason your worship is dull, the reason your worship is boring, is because you left your first love. And you've got to go back and repeat the first deeds. You've got to remember where it all began and how it all began. You got to remember those early days when the Spirit of God was fresh upon you and you were vibrant for the kingdom of God and you were sharing Christ with other people and you couldn't wait to hear what the word of the Lord had to say. You couldn't wait to pray. You got to go back and repeat the first deeds. You got to remember the way it was. You forgot. See? You left your first love. And then he says to the church of Sardis. We know about the church of Ephesus because we've talked about that on several occasions, but how about the church of Sardis? And to the angel, verse chapter 3, verse number 1, of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. That is the evangelical church today. They have a name. They're very popular. Everybody knows about them. They're on TV. Thousands of people go there. They have a name. In the community, they have a name. You're alive. You have everything on the surface, but you have nothing of substance. It's all shallow. You have a name, yes. That you are alive. And everybody says, wow, have you been to that church? Wow, that church is alive. That church is on fire. That church is exciting. They're alive. And Christ says, yeah, but my assessment is you're dead. How can we be dead? There's so many people here. How can we be dead? There's so many people singing here. How can we be dead? There's so many people jumping up and down the aisles here. How can we possibly be dead? God says, you're alive, so you think. You have a name, so you think. But you are dead. He says this, wake up. Strengthen the things that remain, which are about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Verse 3, here it is. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. If therefore you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. You see, even in the dead church, there are people who are alive spiritually, who haven't soiled their garments. Soiled garments speak of impurity, unrighteousness. White garments speak of salvation. And that's why he goes on to say these words. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There are few of you in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. You have white garments. And if you're an overcomer, I will clothe you in white raiment. But those of you who have yet to complete your works, in other words, those of you who think you're perfect but you're not, because in my eyes you're incomplete, because you haven't repented of your sin, you haven't given your life to me, remember, this is what you must do. You must hear the word, you must believe the word, but hearing it and believing is not enough. You got to do what I say. That's always the mark of true conversion. Someone who does what God's word says. Back in the church of Ephesus, he says, remember from where you've fallen. Repent and repeat your first deeds. He says this. Or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. They did not. And the church of Ephesus is no more. Simply because they did not remember from where they had fallen. They did not repeat their first deeds. And they did not repent of their sin. They didn't remember. And God came in judgment, 1 Peter 4:17. The judgment's going to begin. Let it begin in the house of God. And the church of Ephesus is no more. Simply because they did not remember. See, we cannot afford to forget. That's why Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse number 8, remember Jesus Christ, descendant of David, risen from the dead, which is my gospel. Why would the Apostle Paul have to tell a pastor to remember Jesus Christ? Because he, like everybody else, so easily forgets. Listen carefully. About the divinity and the humanity of their God. Because of his divinity, he is supernatural. Because of his humanity, he is sympathetic. And because he is sympathetic and supernatural, through his sympathy, he enables you to have the power to accomplish that which you need to do. So he says, Timothy, listen, you better not forget about Jesus, because you can't function without him. You can't. Not only is he our gospel, he is everything to our life. He can sympathize with every weakness you encounter. Every heartache you face, he can sympathize with that. And he is supernatural so that he can provide for you the strength and everything you need to overcome whatever difficulty you face. Don't forget Jesus Christ. Remember him, Timothy. Why? Because when you remember Christ, number one, there's always comfort. Number two, there's always courage. Number three, there's always commitment. That's a byproduct of the courage and the comfort. And then there is always a conquest. But the conquest is only available because there's a commitment. The commitment is only there because there's courage, and the courage is only there because of the comfort that Christ gives, because you did not forget him. Let me show it to you. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse number 52. I have remembered thine ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. That's where it begins. Why do we remember the Lord? Why do we remember his word? Because when I remember them, I'm comforted. See that? Isn't that good? Well, if I'm going to be a conqueror, then I must, first of all, be comforted by the comfort that comes through the word of God. Verse number 76 of 119. Oh, may thy loving kindness comfort me according to thy word to thy servant. The delights of remembering center around number one, comfort. Number two, commitment. Psalm 119, 55 says this. O Lord, I remember thy name in the night and keep thy law. When I remember, I'm comforted. When I remember, because I'm comforted, I am now committed to doing what you say. And then Psalm 119, 61, the cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten thy law. In other words, because I'm comforted and because I'm committed, I have the courage when the cords of the wicked encompass me. And then over in Psalm 119, 141, says this, I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. And then over in 153, it says, look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget thy law. When there's affliction, rescue me, Lord, because I'm committed not to forgetting your law. So when there's comfort, there's commitment. When there's commitment, there's courage. And when there's courage, there is always conquest. You win. You cannot be defeated. Why? Because you remember everything that Jesus said, the words that he gave, the work that he accomplished. This day, this week, this year, remember the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, the joy we have in studying your word. We are grateful that you brought us together this evening. Truly, you are a great God, and you alone are worthy of praise. Give us a great night in our service for the King. In Jesus' name, amen.